Right. Morning, everyone. Who said I am the greatest? No, I'm not talking about me being the greatest. I'm not trying to find blame for someone who said that. Who said it? Muhammad Ali. Cassius Clay, whichever way you'd like to go. When he said that, he knew what he was saying. He really did think he was the greatest. Who said I'm the walrus? John Lennon. I'm the walrus. He was apparently, when he said that, he was apparently unaware that the walrus was the bad guy in Lewis Carroll's 1871 poem, The Walrus and the Carpenter. Had no idea what he was saying. We're in a sermon series that looks at all the I am statements of Jesus. We've heard that Jesus said, I am the bread of life and I am the light of the world. And these are simple statements of sublime significance. But we might wonder what Jesus was thinking when he said, I am the door. Sounds like a very strange thing, almost as weird as I'm the walrus. What does Jesus mean by it? And how can it help us in our Christian lives? Well, before we try to answer those questions, let's ask God, as we always do, to guide us and teach us.
Black screen there, we'll just leave that one on.
We pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, open our eyes that we might see your truth, open our minds to understand it, open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, rather than saying, I am the door, shouldn't Jesus have said, I am the key? For as the hymn we sing says, he only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Wouldn't it be better for him to have said, I am the key? Yet Jesus prefers to describe himself as the door, or the better translation that we have is the gate. Now, to understand the significance of this word gate, we need to know a little background about shepherds and shepherding. Shepherding is very different to farming. Shepherds would fight off predators and lead their flocks to green pastures and still waters. They would guard, guide, and give their sheep whatever they needed to survive. They'd protect and provide. I only said that because I like alliteration and I like to repeat things. They protect and provide. I also said that because that's similar to the Los Angeles Police Department motto, which is protect and serve. A shepherd would look after around about 100 sheep, just a small enough group for them to be able to remember their names. And the sheep knew the voice of the shepherd and they would follow that particular shepherd. Yet these shepherds would not travel by themselves, they would travel in groups with their sheep. Just like that Christmas story where they were watching their flocks. Several shepherds, several flocks, but together at night. At night, they would find or make some kind of enclosure. It could be a small cave or a valley. It wouldn't be a small cave. There's hundreds of sheep. A bit of a valley or something like that somewhere. Or they create an enclosure out of branches. Several shepherds might share the same enclosure. And the shepherds might take turns then in guarding the sheep during the night by laying down in the entrance to that enclosure. And therefore, they became the gate. They would determine who and what came into and went out from the sheepfold. The next day, each shepherd would then call his sheep, and because they knew his voice, they would follow him. So it could be 10 shepherds, 1,000 sheep, and each one would call out their 100, and only those sheep would follow the shepherd out. They had responsibility that way. The shepherd on duty as the gatekeeper would determine who could have access to all the sheep. He would identify the other genuine shepherds. It is in this context that Jesus says, I am the gate. Let's look at the context that John provides in his gospel for us. The when, the who, the where, and the why. When is all this happening? Well, if we go back to John chapter 10, verse 22, we see it's all happening around the time of what we now call Hanukkah. The feast of dedication. And I'm sure you know what that's all about, don't you? No, well, okay. To understand that, we need to read the book of Maccabees, which we'll begin right now. No, we won't do that. Let me summarise it for you. A Greek king comes and desecrates the city of Jerusalem. The Jews live under oppression until a rebellion where they take back Jerusalem. The festival of Hanukkah then celebrates the rededication of the temple. End of story. In the liturgy of that celebration, they read from Ezekiel, the passage we had read this morning. So the people in the crowd who were listening to Jesus were very familiar with this passage that we just heard because they heard it every year during Hanukkah. And what does it say? Let me remind you. It begins with that, in our version, the word "ah," which sounds a bit weak. The old version was "woe to you," which sounds a lot stronger. So when we read the word "ah," we should read it in the way that the dog has just messed on the carpet and you, "woe to you, O dog." "Ah!" That's the way it's meant to be said. "Ah, you shepherds. You shepherds of Israel, you've been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings. You do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost. But with force and harshness you have ruled them." The shepherds are recognized as the leaders of God's people. Now, this passage from Ezekiel then could be applied to any time in Israel's history, as well as any time in the history of the church, including today. But the leaders of God's people when Jesus was speaking were the Pharisees. This is the who. In the previous chapter, a man born blind is healed by Jesus. But the Pharisees step in and threaten to cast out this man, his parents, or anyone who confessed that Jesus was the Messiah. So John is saying it's the Pharisees who are blind. And just in case we missed the point, he says they can't see Jesus. And he says in John 9:29, this is from the Pharisees' mouth, "We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from. Blind as bats." These Pharisees would never consider themselves to be spiritually blind. They would never admit that. Yet Jesus confirms that they are. In John 9:40, some of the Pharisees heard him say this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "Well, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The introduction of a chapter division at this point interrupts that conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees, which I believe flows into chapter 10. So when we read our Bibles, we just go to a chapter and start reading, not realizing what the conversation was before. This whole gate metaphor is aimed at the Pharisees. I believe it was the hardness of their hearts that kept them from understanding what Jesus said about being the gate. John 10:6, Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. But they weren't the only ones who were confused. By verse 19, the crowds are again divided because of the words of Jesus, as we saw about the light, and about the bread of life, sorry. In this passage, the sheep are God's people, the shepherds are the leaders of God's people, and how you use the gate determines who you are. If you use it, you're a good guy. If you don't use it, you're a bad guy. I said earlier that the gatekeeper would determine who were the genuine shepherds and who were the threats. And that's why Jesus says in John 10:1, "Anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit." So you see, Jesus is the shepherd who is on gate duty. So this is the famous, John 10 is the famous passage about the good shepherd, which we will get onto in another sermon. But this is part of him being that shepherd. Part of his role is a shepherd who is being the gate. If the other shepherds won't come through Jesus as the gate, they are thieves and robbers. And that statement is as true today of our church leaders as it was back then. Where is all this happening? Well, probably near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem. And that's not just because I'd like it to be true. Why would we think this is the case? Because Jesus put mud on that blind man's eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is understood to be south of the Sheep Gate, one of the gates that goes into Jerusalem. The pool of Siloam is not far from the pool of Bethsaida, or the pool with the five porticos, where Jesus had previously healed a lame man on the Sabbath. Now, why is all this important? Well, as I read the scriptures, I find that some passages highlight Jesus as my Saviour, and some passages focus on Jesus as my Lord, and how I relate to him in this life, and then there are some passages that do both. And I think this one falls into the last category. John 10:9, I am the gate, whoever enters by me will be saved. Jesus is my Saviour. And I will come in, and they will come in and go out and find pasture. He is the one whose voice I need to listen to as I follow him in this life. He is my Lord and my Shepherd. And Jesus is saying basically, I will protect you and provide for you in this life and the next if you listen to my voice and follow my instructions. As in Psalm 23, if we listen to the voice of our good shepherd, then we will come and go and find green pastures and still waters in this life, and we will also dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we enter the sheepfold through Jesus, we enter an eternal safe place. Is Jesus promising to eliminate all evil in this life? I don't think so. But what did we just pray in the Lord's Prayer? Lord, deliver us from evil. It's still here. It still exists. And what does he say in Psalm? David say in Psalm 23, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, evil times, I'm not afraid because God is with me. He walks with me through those dark valleys. God doesn't eliminate evil. He protects us and guards us from it. So as I read this passage, I think the emphasis is on protecting us from false shepherds, from false and self-centered leaders who use and abuse the flock for their own personal gain, as we see in the passage from Ezekiel. Jesus promises to build his church or shepherd his flock, even when it is under attack from bears and lions, outside things, or thieves and robbers, internal conflict, these thieves and robbers who are like wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, before we move on, let me tell you some more interesting things I found about those gates I mentioned, or the pools. It's probable that both the pool of Bethsaida and the pool of Siloam were once used in ceremonial cleansing. When the pilgrims came to Jerusalem, they would wash before entering the temple. There is also evidence that before animals were sacrificed at the temple, they were washed and brought into the city through the sheep gate. The sheep sacrifices, washed, and brought in through the sheep gate. Interesting that Jesus was baptized, washed, and comes into the city. Anyway, that's another story. It is possible that John wants his readers, who would have known all these details, to remember the description he records of Jesus in his opening chapters. What does he say about Jesus there? Behold, the Lamb of God, whose sacrifice will take away the sin of the world. John knows his readers are smart and they can put one and one together and make two. We'll hear more about Jesus' claim to be the Good Shepherd next week, but we cannot fully understand this current claim of Jesus to be the gate without seeing that Jesus is claiming to be a shepherd who is functioning as the gate for the sheep. Jesus is therefore the gatekeeper for the flock, the church. Only Jesus can determine who are the genuine leaders for his people. When we listen to the voice of our good shepherd, he will not only provide for us and protect us physically, but he will guide us to the genuine shepherds for his flock and protect us from the false shepherds. But the key phrase is we must keep listening to his voice. Paul gives this warning to Timothy, and it still applies to us today. 2 Timothy 4 from verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. Paul saying that to Timothy a long time ago, true for us now, but true since the beginning of time. Let me read it again and think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, truth from God, and having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires. I wonder if the serpent will tell us that it's good fruit. And will turn away from listening to the truth that God said and wander away to myths that the devil is making up. There's nothing new under the sun. This is the same problem we all face and will always have. And I love the NIV translation, which says, people will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And we see that almost with, this is a bit of an aside, but social media apparently works that you get the news that you want to hear. Depending what area you're in and what things you've been looking at lately, they will direct to you the news that you want to hear, the way you want to hear it. So if you're a Trump supporter, you'll get that news. If you're not, you'll get the other news. Same with the abortion debate at the moment. Shouldn't have raised that. That's a big issue. But there we go. People will gather around them the information and listen to the podcast or whatever it is that will tell them what they want to hear. As we see it, and we see it, don't we, when the churches seem to concentrate on the message of, well, it could be the gift of speaking in tongues, it could be an over-focus on prosperity, some may have an unhealthy focus on good works while turning a deaf ear to the voice of Jesus in other ways, people will gather around them and go to a church that just says what they want to hear rather than listening to what God says in his whole word. As sheep, we are meant to follow our good shepherd. We are meant to follow the direction of his voice. So we are meant to follow the direction of his voice, not the other way around. We can no more dictate the plan of our shepherd than a pot can dictate the plan of the potter. From the beginning of the Bible, the problem has always been that people prefer to listen to their own hearts. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. They prefer to listen to the voice of their own hearts than to listen to the voice of their loving Father, or in our case, our Good Shepherd. Last week, we heard Jesus compare himself to those self-proclaimed guiding lights of God's people and say, I am the light. Walk in my light, not theirs, and you will find eternal life. And this he said at the Festival of Lights in the temple. So here today we find another comparison with the Pharisees at another festival, where those listening are left in no doubt as to the contrast that is being made. Beware of the false shepherds who do not care about the sheep, and listen to my voice, says Jesus, as I show you who are the genuine guides of God's people. And he sets them up as his disciples and apostles, and to go out and teach the truth. This is one of those sermons where the preacher needs to pay more attention than the parishioners. Just as well I'm speaking, otherwise I might fall asleep. No, there's more. The preacher needs to pay more attention than the parishioners. There is a warning here for all who would be pastors of God's flock. Don't repeat the mistakes of previous leaders or shepherds. Don't repeat the mistakes of previous leaders or shepherds. Leaders of God's people are under-shepherds of Jesus, the chief shepherd. This is what Peter says in his exhortation in 1 Peter 5. Now, as an elder myself and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you, the leaders, to tend the flock of God that is in your charge, exercising the oversight not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it, not for sordid gain, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. Sounds like he's read Ezekiel recently. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will win the crown of glory that never fades away. And what that means for you as the sheep is, beware of those who want to lead you their own benefit and not for yours. To know and understand what it means for Jesus to be the gate, we need to know and understand what it means for Jesus to be the good shepherd. The two go together and cannot be separated. Only a good shepherd can be a trustworthy gate for the sheep. Only a good shepherd has the benefit of his sheep in mind, which is the primary role of becoming a gate for the sheep. And just as Jesus is not simply a light for the world, or a bread of life, or a way to God, Jesus is not merely a gate for the sheep. He is the gate for his sheep. Jesus is the only one we can trust to have our best interests at heart. There are no other shepherds worth trusting, worth listening to, or worth following apart from him as the main and great shepherd and those who are under his authority. As we would expect, this matches perfectly with the other I am statements of Jesus, such as I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. It also matches with the understanding of the apostles who wrote in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. Jesus said in John 10:8, all those who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. Instead, we are to listen to the voice of Jesus, who comes to save us and give us life. When Jesus was transfigured before his disciples, God proclaimed from heaven, "This is my Son, listen to him." Are we listening to the voice of Jesus, our Good Shepherd? Our Good Shepherd not only laid down his body in the entrance of the sheepfold to become the gate that protects the flock, he also laid down his life on the cross to save the sheep that listen to his voice. Don't listen to the thieves and bandits who come only to steal and to kill and to destroy. Listen to Jesus, who said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." It is my prayer that we might all hear and listen and follow the voice of Jesus. Will you join me in that prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son Jesus to be our Good Shepherd, who not only keeps us safe in this life, but saves us for eternal life with you. As we listen to his voice, may we continue to experience life in all its fullness, both now and forever. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour, and our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.